Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this training center. Thank you for Apostle. Thank you for the purpose for this school being realized in all of our lives. God, we give you all the glory and all the honor for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First things first, I moved the exams. It was supposed to be this week, but I moved them to November 4th and 5th. We're opening November 4th and 5th, and we had that following week to take the exams. You have a whole week, 7 days to take it. So they'll open up that Monday or Tuesday. I forgot which one it is. But they open up, and you have the whole week to take those exams. The reason why I moved them is because we were only going to have at least, I think, one class, two classes at the most for the exam. I wanted to cover some more information. Also, they give Apostle a chance to cover more information before we take the next exam. And I don't want you taking exams back to back anyway. So that's a good thing. So we will take those. And I think that is the week before, right? That I did that on purpose. So, you know, we had that week off because we're going to be in meetings all that next week. So it's best for us to, I just thought it good for at least the Darrell campus students not have to come nowhere the week before. You know, it's not like online students. We can watch it when they get ready. But you all have a chance to be at home that week and get over things you got to get done, because that next week we'll be in meetings all week. All right. Last time we were together, we began to talk about emotions, control our emotions, chapter 4 of Spirit Life Training. And we begin to talk about how emotions can be used by God to energize us to do things. But at the same time, if not properly handled, our emotions can hinder us from doing what God has called us to do. I made a statement during that class our thoughts are, let me add another one to it. My environment produces my thoughts. All right. My thoughts cause me to feel. I don't know if you remember that statement. My feelings cause me to act. And my actions bring certain results. All right. So my environment produces my thoughts, my surroundings. So if I'm acting a certain way that I don't want to act, that means there's something in my environment causing me to think a certain way, which causes me to feel a certain way, which causes me to act a certain way, which brings certain results in my life. So I have to, in order for me to correct whatever I want to correct, how I'm, the results, I have to go back to how I'm acting. Then I have to go back to how I feel. Then I have to go back to what I'm thinking. Then I got to locate that thing in my environment that causes me to think that way, which causes me to feel that way, causes me to act that way, which brings these results in my life. So now you see how important it is for us to understand how we control our emotions. We went over, I think, Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Then we went to, I think it's 2 Corinthians the 10th chapter, the 5th verse, it says, cast down every imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So that means we're not casting out all thoughts, just the ones that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. All right? Now, it's important that we grab hold of our emotions, which in the best way, I said it last time we were together, the best way to grab hold of your emotions, listen to me, internet, the best way to grab hold of your emotion is to do exactly what Luke 21:19 says. In your patience, possess ye your soul. So in other words, I must always take the time to pause. I can't ever react. I need to always respond. There's a difference. Response is what you're in control of. React, simply you're just acting again. Respond means you taking time to think about it, and then you act. Is that making sense? See, this is how you control your emotions, because emotions used the right way are great. God has emotions. The Bible talks about God as a jealous God. Didn't it say that? The Bible talks about his anger was kindled against them. In other words, God was very, another one said he was sorely displeased. See, in other words, whenever we don't obey God, it frustrates him. Why it frustrates him? Because now he got to go find somebody else to do what he had called you to do. And he really wanted you to do it because he loves you that much. So therefore, he has to take those emotions and channel them another way. Does that make sense? So we have to take time to pause. I'm going over this again because a lot of times we get ourselves out of the will of God because of our emotions. Because we feel somebody don't love us. Because we feel somebody don't like us. We just feel those things without ever actually knowing that person might not know you. That person might not even, that person might be intimidated by you. But we let those thoughts create how we feel. So if my thoughts create how I feel, that's why I have to renew my mind with the Word of God. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12 chapter. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, what? Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Why? Perfect will of God. So other words, thank you, Holy Spirit. So if I don't renew my mind with the Word of God, that means there's some thoughts that's going to creep in. Because here's one thing we know for a fact. That your thoughts tell you how to feel. Your thoughts tell you how to feel. We know that's a fact. Your thoughts tell you how to feel. Your feelings just don't pop up out the blue. Your emotions don't pop up out the blue. Your thoughts tell you how to feel. Your thoughts tell you what emotion to feel. So if I don't renew my mind with the Word of God, that means something is going to tell my emotions how to react. Are you seeing this? So this is why, go to Psalms, First Samuel, the 16th chapter. First Samuel, the 16th chapter. Boy, Saul had issues with his emotions. He had major issues. Now, he was called by God, but he couldn't control his emotions. He was insecure, very insecure, didn't know how to trust God. So you'll find him being emotionally driven, tossed to and fro. He's just emotionally driven, gone back and forth. His emotions, he couldn't hear God for his emotions getting in the way. So 1 Samuel, I think it's 16th chapter, 23rd verse. And it came to pass when the Bible put in quotation, evil spirit from God. Well, we know that's not how that is. Because God don't send no evil spirits, because it's a contradictory to every good and perfect gift come from God above. So what it was really saying is that God was challenging Saul. Because Saul was disobeying him. So God was challenging him to do right. But because of his insecurities, he took it as an evil spirit. Are you seeing this? Yes, so watch this. Watch what happened. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took an harp and played with his hands so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed him. That was his emotions. He wasn't able to control. Somebody else had to control his emotions for him. And it was somebody who was anointed. David was anointed. So David had to help him control his emotions. You shouldn't have to have nobody else help you control your emotions. You should be able to control your own emotions. But that was born out of insecurities. Another instance. 1 Samuel 13. Turn there. Samuel had given Saul instructions to go to a certain city. He gave Saul some instructions. I need you to do this. Do A, B, and C. One instruction was go to this certain city. I need you to stay there 7 days. After 7 days, I'm going to come and meet you, and we're going to give up a burnt offering. All right? That's what the instructions Samuel had given him. Chapter 1 Samuel 13, verses 6 through 7. Because people were, y'all see that? They say what they were afraid. That's what it says? Is it 1 Samuel 13? Yeah, 13, 6 and 7. That ain't it? 1 Samuel, yeah. Chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. Read it to me, because I'm going to have a different version. All right, what the next verse says? Yeah, there it is. I got a short version. Notice now, the people were what? Trembling. They were in fear. They were afraid. All those are emotions. Now, they were afraid because Saul, it was 7 days had passed. Samuel hadn't showed up yet. So they got afraid. They got in fear. They began to hide. Are you seeing it? Seeing this? And so what Samuel did, Saul did. Saul sent up a burnt offering himself. He wasn't supposed to. Only one supposed to send up burnt offerings was the high priest. So therefore, because of emotions and being driven, it caused him to disobey orders from God. And that's when Saul got rejected. All because of his emotions. Not keeping them in check. Not keeping his emotions at bay. Not willing to check his thoughts. The people begin to talk to him and say, Samuel, you need to do something. You're the king. You need to do something. We need to do something. We got to do something. Samuel's supposed to have been here. And when Samuel came, Samuel rebuked him and said, you ain't supposed to be doing this. I was coming. I'm following God's voice. I got delayed. See, why? Now listen. In the apostolic, we can't easily get our feelings hurt. Because we may have been given instructions on one thing, we go and do them, and God sees something else about to happen and change. We got to be able to change with him without getting our emotions in the way. Are you listening to me, internet? We got to be able to, look, listen, I guess hindsight is 2020. So when you read these stories, God made these people rich, brought them into the wilderness, was leading them by a pillar of fire by night, right, and a cloud by day, and would lead them during the day. God feeding them in the morning, feeding them in the evening. And these people still was emotionally up and down. So you know what God did? God said, I cannot take these emotionally unstable people into the promised land. Their emotions is the thing that kept them out. So God said, we're going to take, it's a 40-day journey. They wandered around the wilderness 40 years. To all the emotionally unstable people died. Is this making sense? See, if we see our emotions, if not channeled properly, will cause us to miss God. Our emotions that are not channeled properly will cause us to miss God. Your emotions have to be properly channeled. I didn't mean to stay on it that long, but this is good. Because I see so many people get upset and get out the will of God because something, one thing didn't go their way. Because they couldn't get this done or they couldn't get that done. Well, then I guess pastor don't love me. I guess pastor don't care for me. These people around this church, they don't like me. That's the problem now. We come together with too much social stuff. But it's too much social stuff. We just the last class talked to them. The Bible talks about, and I think it's Ephesians, the third chapter, I think around the 16th verse, I think it is. It says, that we be rooted and grounded in love, that we may all comprehend. That we may all comprehend. Not that you and I comprehend, but that we all comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth. So that means we have to do this together. So that means we have to have our emotions in check. You know we have to have our emotions in check if we're going to work with each other. Because all of us are not alike, so if something don't go like we want, we got to check that emotion. And pause and let God talk to us. One of the things, here's the one thing. In leadership, I never question my leadership. Let me tell you why. You know who I do ask, though? I ask God. Why? Because when I go to God and ask him, it keeps my heart clear. And it gives God a chance to go to him, to whom he is set in that place and say, I need you to change this. Yeah. So therefore, the apostolic order is kept in place. Because see, what happens is some people think because they see something that their leader don't see, it gives them the right to be where their leader are or their leader is. That's emotions. That's ego. Are you seeing this? Emotions has to be the number one reason why most people miss God. Because their emotions not in check. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's emotions. That's not having your emotions in check. That's allowing your emotions to take the best of you. Instead of you renewing your mind with the word of God. Are you seeing this? So that you may be able, watch it, the word prove, is to recognize. That's the word prove mean. To recognize the good and acceptable and will of God. So that means even I renew my mind with the word of God, which means I'm washing my thoughts, which means when I wash my thoughts, when I take control of my thoughts, when I do that, that means I'm now in control of my emotions. I'm in control of my feelings. I'm in control of what's going, how I'm going to react. I'm in control of all those things. When I do those things, even if God goes in a direction that I didn't think I was supposed to go in, and I don't like it, that means I can pause and realize, hey, this God is moving. Let me rearrange my thoughts so I know how to feel. Yes. See, I'm telling you, emotions have caused more people to miss God than anything else. A lot of people hear God. Hearing God ain't the issue. It's when you hear God and it don't line up with what you want to happen. That's when emotions come out and we try to manufacture a move of God because of our emotions, because of our ego, because we don't want to change. Are you seeing this? See, emotions, man, emotions. I've seen more people get thrown off by emotions. I mean, he ain't speak to me this morning. What? He ain't speak to you this morning. What they got to do with you following God? Oh, man, she ain't talking to me. She ain't hanging with me no more. What? Have you ever thought to ask God why? Pause and think about it. Are you seeing this? Yes, sir. Emotions will call, I promise you, emotions that are not in check will cause you to miss God. Emotions not in check. We got to get these emotions in check. There's no room to, if your feelings lead you, you will be led down the wrong path every time. Your emotions should not be the thing that's leading. The emotions should be the thing that gives you fuel to do what you're called to do. Passion is an emotion. You must be fueled by passion after you've heard what God wants you to do. See? A lot of people have zeal. Nothing wrong with zeal. But zeal unchanneled is just going to get you in a lot of trouble. Zeal will have you messing with stuff you ain't called to mess with. Mark 11 and 23, Jesus began to talk about this mountain. Turn there. I want you to see this. Whoever shall say to... Turn there. Listen a minute, turn in Mark 11, 23. I want you to read it to me. When everybody get there, we're going to read it. Read it, read. What it says, to what? To what? That's specific, isn't it? So why is it? Why is it people feel that they go messing with stuff they shouldn't mess with? See, he said y'all should say to this mountain. Not every mountain, this one right here. Because this the one you need, this the one you're dealing with right here. You see? But because of warped thinking, you talk to one mountain, now you feel like you can talk to all mountains. And now you're dealing with stuff that you ain't got no business dealing with. Now you out of your league. You out of your calling. I've seen more people butcher up financial messages. And they butcher financial messages because they feel they need money. So now they want to preach about it. Because now they're trying to get people emotion to give. Are you seeing this? Your emotions have got to be in check. I still talked about it last time. When Jesus whipped the money changers out of there, Jesus' emotions was in check. He said, you made my house a den of thieves. Not no more. It's about to be a house of prayer. You've got to keep your emotions in check. If you don't keep them in check, they will lead you the wrong way. So watch this. Paul's, I'm harping on this because this is very important. Because here's the thing. In apostolic, everything is not going to go the way you think it ought to go. And so the first natural reaction when stuff don't go your way is to get angry. And when you get angry or you get disappointed or you get distraught, now all of a sudden Satan has room now to begin to play with you. What do you think happened to Eve? Eve got to a point to where she allowed somebody to come to her and lie to her about stuff she already knew. Then her emotions, watch this. She began to think. Then she saw the fruit was good. Then she was, watch this. Then she became attracted to the fruit. She wanted it. Her appetite. Your appetite is a feeling. It's an emotion. Are you seeing this? Pornography creates an appetite. It creates an emotion that never should have been created. That's why you can't let it get into your thought pattern. Because it begins to create false emotions. Is this making sense? See, your emotions, man. See, but watch this now. Don't throw your emotions on the side because you need them to fuel you to do what God called you to do. It gives you the energy to do what God has called you to do. When God speaks to you, you become excited. You become passionate. It calls you to go and do what God has called you to do. But left unchecked, it'll get you in trouble. Two things I want you to do with your emotions. Number one, to doubt all of them. Every last one of them. Doubt them. What that really saying is, that's just Luke 21:19. You're pausing to see, where is this coming from? Where does this originate? And two, to filter every unexpected emotion that comes at you. See, sometimes emotions have surprise attacks. Somebody come at you sideways, you weren't even expecting it. And your first, oh, I'm gonna get a straight. I'm gonna get him straight. We're gonna deal with this today. She ain't gotta be talking to me like that. He ain't gonna be handling me like that. And you got to pause and say, what is this? Is this possibly Satan trying to distract me from something that I need to be paying attention to? Is this somebody Satan sent to distract me, get me in offense, so I can miss what God is really trying to tell me? Doubt every emotion and filter every unexpected emotion. This is why, and I'm covering, I want to go back and make sure I cover this, because every emotion you have needs to be compared to God's emotion. It needs to be. This is why you have to renew your mind with the Word of God. Because when you get the Word of God, you automatically have God's feelings. Because thoughts do what? Produce feelings. Thoughts cause you to feel a certain way. So when you have God's thoughts on something, you automatically know his feelings or his emotions on the situation. So when you take and you grab Luke 21:19, when you pause, you get a chance to compare your emotions to his, and you're able to line yours up. Chapter 5. Next part of your mind is your intellect and your reasoning. It's getting deeper and deeper. Because now we just left from feelings, and now we're going to all the smart folk. Yeah. All the smart people, people who think they smart. Think they know it. Now, first thing, God is an intelligent God. And he gave humankind the same kind of intelligence. Why do you think they have all these inventions? Why do you think that comes from God? That comes from the mind of God. It's impossible for man to think of that stuff on his own. It's God causing all this. Matter of fact, pretty much every invention you see first existed in the spirit world. That's true. Because everything that is seen comes from a place that is. y'all think an email was just something wonderful. God been doing that. Downloading and all that kind of good stuff. God been doing that. How you think David was hearing him? God was downloading to his spirit. Sending messages that you can't see. That's all email is. You can't see it. All you know, you open your email box, you see somebody done sent you an email. I'm serious, God been doing that. God has been doing these things, and man is just not catching up. But the wonderful thing about it is God has given us the intelligence to do so. But we must remember that our intelligence is only a fraction of his intelligence. our intelligence is only a fraction of his intelligence. That's it. So we got to do a good job in keeping our reasoning and our intellect in check. Can't let them run rampant. You find that, and especially people who are just extremely intelligent, they have the most difficult time grasping the concept God put out. Because they can't, they're trying to reason. They're trying to figure it out. Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 1 and 18. God said, let us reason together. See, God don't mind thinking. Just don't think without him. Just don't think without him. He doesn't mind you use your intellect at all. He designed our intellect to, first of all, have the joy of discovering his creation, seeing the orderly hand of God in creation and his laws. The sense of discovery was to lead us to a greater experience of executing his word and implementing his word practically. Are you seeing this? See, our intellect was supposed to cause us to lead a trail on seeing how God did things from the supernatural to the natural. That's what our intellect was for. But we have to renew our minds in order for that to happen. Because I talked about this, I said this earlier, where people who try to figure out the mind without God, psychologists and all that stuff, they find themselves kind of getting loosey in the mind themselves. It's because your mind, watch this, your mind will allow you to go into the spirit realm. But if you go into the spirit realm without the escort of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be confused. Because in the supernatural, in the spirit world, everything is happening. Stuff that you ain't even know what's going on is going on. And so if you try to get in there with just your intellect without a it's almost like going underwater without an oxygen mask. You can't go underwater without oxygen mask. You can stand there only so long. You stood on there too long, you're going to start sucking up water, and you wasn't designed to suck up water. That's too much water to be drinking in the Mississippi River tonight. Going out there and just stay out there. It's too much water. But watch this. But if you go out there with a tank on your back and a breathing apparatus, you can stay out there as long as it got air in there. So for those that try to go into the spirit realm with the mind, with your mind, without the escort of the Holy Spirit, you're going to start sucking up stuff that you ain't got no business sucking up. And you're going to eventually drown or go crazy. See the illustration? So the Holy Spirit has to escort us. See, God, we're supposed to be able to take our intellect and see God at work. See God, what he's doing. And be able to apply it to our lives. That's why he said, come let us reason together. That's why he said, cast down every imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Don't get rid of all your imagination, just the ones that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That's God letting you reason, let God reason, God talking to us, God thinking with us, God allowing us, my ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That God wasn't talking to us. He was talking to people who didn't want to come up to his level of thinking. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. God gives us the opportunity to come up to his thinking. But we got to want to go there. We can't try to bring God down to ours. We have to go up to his. Are you seeing this? There is so much he does not have to tell us because creation itself tells us the way he thinks. You just look around and you see how things go, and you begin to recognize how God was thinking, how God put everything in motion, one of the problems with man is, man figure if he can't see it, it must have evolved. No, God created all of this. Just because you can't figure out how he done it, don't mean he ain't do it. And so that's where the Big Bang Theory and all that stuff come from. That's where evolution come from. We weren't there to see it, so we just going to figure it evolved. No. God put all that in motion. And if you and if you pay attention, you'll see how God, everything is in order. Why in the world you think if we rotate any faster on our axis, we'd be crushed. Gravity be too much. We rotate on our axis at the perfect speed. Watch this. We come, for some strange reason, we pass the sun directly where we need to pass it, and we get the right temperature. That don't happen by accident. You know how you prove that don't happen by accident? Because the rest of them planets running out there in the Milky Way system, they some of them get too far away, and they freeze up. You got one too close, it stay on fire. But the Earth just happened to be perfect. Perfect rotation, perfect revolution. That's God. You see how God thinks, how he's orderful, how he's purposeful. This is why you can't, when you begin to understand God's inner, you begin to reason with God, you begin to think with God, you begin to see how God, how orderful God is. And God will begin to let you, God will begin to let you in on the future. Because you're closely in tune with him. You know, God is very purposeful God. That's why it's hard for me to believe when somebody is placed somewhere for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and God is still moving, and all of a sudden, God leads me in a different direction. So you mean to tell me that God been leading you down this path for 20 years to just up and change and take you somewhere else? So you got to, so the first 15, 20 years didn't really mean nothing. Are you seeing this? See, when you begin to see where God is moving, when you begin to reason with God, you begin to see how he's moving. I like to call it the spirit of anticipation. When you really hunger after God, you begin to see where God is moving, and God begins to give you insight on what's your position. So therefore, a lot of times when changes are made, I've already made the shift. Because when the shift is made, I got no problem shifting with it because me and God been talking. I ain't know exactly all what was going to happen, but I knew something was going to change. So therefore, when change come, I got my emotions in check because I've been reasoning with God. So my intellect and everything is in place. Are you seeing this? For this reason, Jesus used parables from nature and his laws to demonstrate the ways of the kingdom of God operates. So, other words, what the author is saying is that Jesus often used parables that we can see operating, and we can equate it to how things work in the supernatural. Case in point, I think it's Matthew the 25th chapter. Turn there. We're gonna close with this one. We're gonna take up with the intellect and reasoning next week. 25th chapter, Matthew. I think it's about the 12th, 13th verse, where it's talking about the parable of the talents. 11. It's 13. 14, it says, the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to see something now, because a lot of people take this particular parable, and instead of them letting God reason with them with this parable and the purpose of Jesus talking about this parable, they take this parable as an excuse to use business as their source instead of God being their source. Because Jesus said this. But watch what this first phrase clears that up in that 14th verse. What it says. Is as. The kingdom of heaven is as. Other words, another way to say it, the kingdom of heaven is like a man. I think it's Luke says it a different way. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, which gives his good. It's as. It's not is. It's as. So the words, what I'm about to try to explain to you now, it works like what you see in the natural. So Jesus began to give the talent to the five. He began to talk about a man giving the talent to the five. So then he gave one another two, right? Then he gave one, right? Then the one went with the five, went and traded and doubled his. The one with the two traded and doubled his. The one with the one talent went and hid his. You seeing this? So all Jesus was trying to get them to see is understand the principle of seed time and harvest. But the only way he can get them to understand it is to use it to take the concept of business to tell them how it works in the supernatural. In business, the seed time harvest, it came from the supernatural. So therefore, when people go and trade, they're supposed to get more back. All Jesus was saying was, take what I've given you and use it for seed. This is not an excuse for you to go jump in business. Are you seeing this? See, so people have used this particular passage of scripture, this parable that Jesus was trying to use to get them to understand a supernatural principle and giving them an excuse to try to go make money. Are you seeing this? Talking about Jesus was using natural things to get our intellect to catch on to what God does in the supernatural. Are you seeing this? So our minds, our intellect, when we keep it in check, it helps us to understand how God operates. If we allow, watch this. I said this. I think I said this. Yeah, I did say this last time we were together. At that particular moment when Jesus was giving that parable, he was shaping the minds of his disciples. See, somebody gonna shape your thoughts. Somebody going to shape your mind. Somebody going to shape your belief system. The wonderful thing about that is God gives us the right to choose who. So here Jesus was using a natural principle to shape their minds about a supernatural law. But he was, the point I'm making is he was using a natural instance, business. This don't mean you're supposed to go jump in business tomorrow. You're supposed to take the principles from that. Seeing this? And watch this. And begin to apply it supernaturally. Are you seeing this? When God tells us to do something, he expects us to use our brains based on the information that he has already brought into our path. I'm going to close with this one. When God tells us to do something, he expects us to use our brains based on the information that he has already brought into our path. Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. He told him what type of wood to use. He told him how long to build it, how wide to build it. And he told him what type of wood to go use. So, watch this. Noah had to go and get the materials and engineer it together. What do you think he used? His brain. I've seen more Christians hear from God and forget to think. They forget to think, so they start doing all sorts of craziness, foolishness, and just, I mean, stuff that just don't make no sense and then blame it on God. Now, if God says about the flood, I mean, Noah, God say, hey, they never seen rain come from the sky. Rain about to come from the sky. This is what you need to do. So Noah said, okay, I'm going to find it. He had to know what gopher wood was. He had to go get it. He had to know how to measure. He had to know how to build. So he had to use his brain to execute what God had told him. I'll see you all next week.